All right, good morning. And it was a little hard to wake up this morning for some reason. And then I decided to go for a run and I got attacked by mosquitoes. I think I have like 12 mosquito bites on each leg. I didn't know that they could attack you while you were running. Maybe I just wasn't running fast enough or something like that. So some of you had to get up early to go to Wrangler's breakfast, right? Who went to Wrangler's breakfast this morning? Yeah, you'll be paying for it later, so that's all right. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so we've been talking, we talked yesterday, and the question that I asked you was, who is God? Who do you say God is? And then last night we looked at Mark chapter 4, when we were talking about Jesus calming the storm and how the disciples, at first they thought he was just a simple teacher, but then all of a sudden he calms the storm, and then they start to ask the question, well, who is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him. And I was talking about the fact that, you know, who you say God is a big indicator. Asking the question, who is God, is a really important question. It's an important question for all of us, whether we go to church, whether we follow Jesus or not. It's a big question to ask. And so the disciples were asking this question, and I was encouraging each and every single one of us to ask the same question. And I'm pretty much going to be saying the same thing all week. You know, who do you say God is? Who does your life say God is? What is it? How does how you live your life determine who God is to you? And so today, we're going to look at this story in 1 Samuel, and we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 5. And so today I'm going to talk about the fact that God is God, okay? And we're going to look at this story in 1 Samuel chapter 5, like I said, and it just kind of gets a good illustration of God interacting with other people, God interacting with his people, and God doing battles and stuff like that. It's a really cool story, and it's actually kind of a funny story to me if it weren't so tragic. So I'm gonna pray for us, and then we'll get started. So let's pray. Lord, we just sang about the fact that you are a good father, and that's who you are. We sang about you and who you are, and I just thank you for that privilege, and I pray that as we sing those songs, as we open your word, as we go throughout this week, that we'd be continually considering that, who you are, and what does that mean for us. And so now as we open the word, Holy Spirit, speak to us, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to our intellect, and help us to determine who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so start off with, we're going to play this little game, okay? So it's called 20 questions, all right? So I'm thinking of a person, and you have to ask me 20 questions to determine who this person is. And so the prize for winning is celebrating the fact that you actually got it, okay? So I don't have any like candy in my pockets or anything. I've got lint. If you want that, you know, you can have that. So 20 questions, you have to, so you have to ask yes or no questions, okay? It can't be, you know, it has to be yes or no questions. So, all right, and if you repeat a question, so you have to be listening to other people's questions, because if you repeat a question, that still counts against your 20 questions, okay? So I need some help. I need somebody to be a question counter, like to keep track of how many questions I have. All right, Nathan, you want to do it? All right, so just keep track. You can stay right there and just keep track. 20 questions, okay? Don't be cheating, and make sure that you got 20. So who wants to start? First question. Yes, Sally. It is not a girl, so no. No. No, it's not a girl. Yeah. Yes, it is a guy, because it's not a girl, so that's a guy. All right, that's legit. Yeah, Bennett. Not from the Bible. No. You're wasting your questions. We go over here.
Is he in this room?
Not in this room. Yeah. You.
Does he work at the camp?
Nope, don't work at the camp. Okay, no, he's not alive right now. I'll tell you that. Right? I'll just say that. Famous, yes, very famous, yes. Okay, that was your question. Nathan, where are we at right now? We have 8 questions. Okay, so you have to really, you got 8 questions. That means you have, how many questions is that? You have 12 questions left, okay? So, you know, ask some good questions, okay? Levi.
Is it Michael Jackson?
It's not Michael Jackson, no. But that's a good guess. Not an actor, nope. Henry, sorry. Not Jesus, nope. That's a good question. It's not a biblical figure. Let's go Connor. He is a singer, yes. Good, we're getting somewhere. Nathan, where are we at? They had 13 more left, or 13 questions have been asked? 13 have been asked. Okay, so we've got 7 more. Let's go way back in the back. Yeah. He is not me. Nope, he is not me. He is not me. Logan. Is he what? Wow, let's give this man a round of applause. Logan Anderson. Is that what your last name is? Anderson, right? Yes. Yeah, so Logan, all right, Logan, because you got it, I'll buy you a coffee. I'll do that. So sometime today, I'll buy you a coffee. What?
Can I put wins in your pocket?
Yeah, sure. Oh, it just fell on the floor, so you have to kind of, not now, just get it later. Okay, just get it later. All right, so the reason why I'm talking about Elvis is because I'll tell you that in a minute. So Elvis Presley, I mean, people have heard of Elvis. You know, anybody like Elvis here? Anybody? Some people. Don't be ashamed. It's okay. All right, so I don't say that I hate Elvis, because that's strong, and I don't hate Elvis. I've never met him. I don't know. But I don't really like Elvis. Like, I don't like his songs. And, you know, I come from a family. My stepfather, my aunt, my step-aunt, I guess you'd call her. I just call her my aunt. They love Elvis. So they're, you know, brother and sister, they love Elvis. I mean, they talk about him all the time. They've got shirts and books and DVDs. And so anybody ever been to Graceland before? Okay, so you've been to Graceland a couple of years. Okay. So it's Graceland is basically Elvis's house, and it's like this huge complex, and it's really expensive to get in there, and people come from all over the world to go to Graceland. Like, there's this fence outside of the Graceland, and it's got all these people's signatures on it, and people's signatures from everywhere, like China and, you know, Japan and just everywhere. So people come from all over just to see where Elvis lived, just to see his house, just to see, you know, a museum of a bunch of his underwear and stuff like that. It's kind of fascinating to me. So I've had the fortunate or unfortunate privilege, I would say unfortunate because I've had to pay for it, and I never wanted to go. I've had the unfortunate privilege of going to Graceland like 5 times, okay? So, I don't mind museums, but I don't like Elvis's museum, okay? I just don't care. So you walk through the museum or the Graceland, and there's a car museum. There's like a, you get to see his studio. You get to see the place where he like died, and you get to see the place where he's buried and all this other stuff. And it's kind of ridiculous. So you walk in there, and like every time they come up with something new that we haven't seen of his. So you see his plaques. You see I guess he took kung fu or karate or something like that. So you see his uniforms and stuff like that. And it's really fascinating to me that people spend so much money, so much time, so much effort on this person. And my aunt said something really interesting to me. She said Elvis was. We were sitting there, and I mean, she was. It's comical to me. So we were sitting there, and she's like, I just got to sit down and take it all in. So we're sitting there near the concession stands at Elvis World, Elvis Land, Graceland, whatever you want to call it. And she's like, I just got to take it in. And so we sat down, and I'm just like, this is the dumbest. I mean, I can't believe I'm wasting my money on this vacation of Elvis, and he's not even here. Anyway. So we're sitting down, and she's just like, man, Elvis was such a great man. He was larger than life, is what she said. And I was trying to be sensitive, so I didn't say anything, but in my mind, I'm thinking, well, he's dead. He's not alive anymore. I don't know why they keep coming out with like a bunch of his recordings, because he hasn't recorded anything for, I don't know how long he's been dead, but he's not here anymore. But it's funny how people waste so much time. And again, I'm sure he was a great guy. And I mean, he's done a lot of cool things. And so is Michael Jackson. And so is all these other people. But they're not alive anymore. And so we waste a lot of time on stuff that just is meaningless. It's kind of dead. And we spend a lot of our money on that stuff. And we call these things gods. So Elvis is like this god. People have built him up to be this god, and they've done it to other things, like money, perhaps, or they've done it to like Michael Jackson. I mean, I remember seeing this video of Michael Jackson where he was at this concert, and people were falling all over the floor and crying because he like touched a snot rag, and then it was theirs, and then they got to hold on to it. You know, I think I just read in the paper that some basketball player, or no, who was it? Barry Sanders. You might know who Barry Sanders is. He used to play for the Lions. He was like probably one of the best running backs ever. He signed a skateboard, and it sold for $3,000. I'm like, man, can I do that? You know, probably no one would probably want to buy my skateboard if I signed it, but you'd buy it, but you wouldn't pay $3,000 for it, would you? Thanks, Nathan. All right, anyway, I digress. What I want to talk about again, like I said today, is that God is bigger. God is bigger than Elvis. God is bigger than all of these figures and all these other gods. And I want to show you this picture of this in 1 Samuel chapter 5. And so chapter 5 verse 1 starts like this. It says, after the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. There's some really weird names in here. So I got to give you a little background of what's going on here. So there's these two people groups. Let's see, who's more awake here? Which side is more awake? Like, you know, we got this. Alistair, you're not awake. You look like you're, all right, which side? Which side is more awake? Because you get to be the Israelites. All right, I'm sorry. I got to go with this side. Sorry, I got to go with this side over here. Alistair's falling asleep over there. Somebody better slap him. Or, well, don't slap him. No, don't do it. No, don't do it. Okay. All right, so you guys are the Israelites, okay? You guys, give me some Israelite yell, like a war cry, okay? Like, okay. All right, I don't know. Well, I don't know. That was kind of weak over there. All right, what about you guys? Can you give me like an Israelite war cry? Like, you know. Okay, you've been demoted, okay? Because they did it. Okay, so you guys get to be the Israelites, okay? And you guys will be the Philistines, okay? So you're not a bad group of people. I mean, they were pretty cool too, but you get to be the Philistines, okay? All right, so there's two people groups. You got the Israelites. And you got the Philistines. Yes, Sam. Okay. All right. And so they were just at odds with each other. I mean, they were constantly battling, and they didn't like each other. And so how it works is in this time in this day and age, gods are like important. Actually, I was with one of a cabin. Whose cabin was I with? What was it? Fish? No. Oh, yeah. What's your cabin thing? I was with Sue yesterday. We were talking about gods and this whole idea of no God and atheism and all that stuff. It's a new phenomenon in the last 100 years because people always knew that there was a God. And a lot of people groups thought that there were more than one God. So we've got the Israelites. Yeah! All right, cool. All right. And they thought that there was one God. And so they thought God, they call him Yahweh, but they didn't really say his name all the way, but they thought he was God. They said, this is God. They had this thing called the Ark of the Covenant. You can show that. So they had this thing called the Ark of the Covenant, okay? So this is kind of what it looks like, probably not really, but I just, you know, you've probably seen something like this before. This was the Israelites had this in a place called Shiloh, which was a town kind of far away from where a lot of them were, where they did a lot of their battles. So they kept this, and they believed that this was symbolized God's presence, okay? So they believed that this, it was almost kind of like a little bit of a shrine in the story, but they believed that God's presence was in this place. And so wherever this was, that's where God was, okay? And then you got the Philistines. Yeah. Yeah. All right, that was a little weak, but that's okay. And their god was this guy named Dagon, so you can show that one, okay? I mean, it kind of looks like a little bit of a fish, and, you know, I couldn't find an accurate picture because it's gone, okay? And so their god was Dagon, okay? So it's like the Israelites battling the Philistines. Yeah, I got that right. Israelites are battling the Philistines, and what happened was the Israelites, they got defeated. They had a battle, and they got defeated. And so they thought, you can make fun of them, that's okay. Loser. Wow, this is a Christian king. Okay. All right. So the Israelites, you know, they got their tail, you know, between their legs, and they're sad because they lost. And so they thought, well, if we go get the Ark of the Covenant, you can show that again. If you go get the Ark of the Covenant, that's God's presence. And so we want to, it's essentially what they were doing was they were forcing God to be with them. So they took the Ark of the Covenant and they took it into battle with them. All right. And so they let out this huge war cry. Once the Ark of the Covenant got into their camp, and the Philistines, yeah! Philistines were a little worried because they're like, and they actually say that there must be some gods in the camp. And so we need to go and beat them up. We need to go kill them so that we can subdue them so that they won't mess with us anymore. So the Philistines go and attack the Israelites. Yeah! And the Israelites were defeated. So go, aw, aw. Yeah. Yeah, so the Israelites were defeated, and not only were they defeated, their Ark of the Covenant was captured. It was captured. So you guys go, ooh, like, oh, snap. Yeah, so the Ark of the Covenant was captured, and it was taken into the Philistine camp. So the Philistines rejoiced, okay? but something bad happens to the Philistines. Okay, so this is where we pick up the story. It says, after the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then they carried the Ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. So Dagon is this, it's actually like a big statue. It's a statue, basically. And it's in their temple. And they put the Ark of the Covenant next to their temple because they believe in so much in gods. And so they believe that, the Philistines believe that because they defeated the Israelites, they also defeated their god. So they would capture their god and bring it into their temple in a way of making that god into submission to their god. So they put him in the temple. And then they wake up the next morning and they see Dagon, this huge statue, and it's fallen over right before the Ark of the Covenant of God and his people. Verse 4, but the following morning when they rose, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. I skipped that. Verse 3, when the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. Then verse 4, but the following morning, so the next morning, when they rose, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And not only that, but his head and his hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. That is why to this day, neither the priests of Dagon nor any others who entered Dagon's temple at Ashdod steps on the threshold. So not only they pick him up, and then the next morning it happens again, but not only does it happen again, his face is gone, his arms are gone. It's just this body. It's this huge god that they worship. It's gone. And I was reading this book, and I forgot what the name of the book is, and it was a while ago, but the guy in the book was telling the story, and he says, when your god is fallen on his face before another god, it's time for you to get a new god, because yours is impotent. Yours is powerless before this god. So God, symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant, is just sitting there, and all of a sudden Dagon is on his face. And not only that, but his head is gone and his arms are gone. That shows submission. So that means that Dagon is in submission to God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And I love this story because it just gives a little picture. We'll look at another picture of that tonight, of who God is and the fact that God is God. So I'm going to close with this same question. The same question I'm going to probably say a lot this week. God is God. God is God. In fact, someone was asking the question, you know, how do you know that God is God? And here, I mean, I can't remember quite what I said, but I really, essentially the answer to that question is this. I mean, if God is God, he'll prove it. You'll get to figure it out really quickly. If you continue to seek God, you'll get to figure it out really quickly. So we'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. But again, the question is, who do you say God is? Who do you say God is by your life? Who do you say God is by your words, your actions, the things that you do, and how you treat other people? So with that, I'm going to pray for us, and then I think Rachel's going to come. Or sorry, Sarah. I'm so sorry. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I just thank you for the different stories like these that show your almighty power. And I pray for each and every single one of us again today, Lord, that we would let you be on the throne in our lives, that we would invite you into our lives, that we would look to you, that we would seek you, and that we would surrender to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.